all these trials are really good for you. None of us like hearing that. And is it even true? Does our pain make us stronger or just wear us down? Well, a certain theological expert named Mr. Charlie Brown has some very pointed views on this subject. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth Richards. We want to thank you for joining us on this Thursday as Lonnie continues with his series, Why Does It Have to Hurt So Bad? A special book offer is coming right up, but first, let's go right to our message and our host, Lonnie Melashenko. His title, Charlie Brown's Lament.
Suffering builds character. I suppose those are three of the most unpopular words in the world, right up there with eat your spinach, it's good for you. An old Peanuts cartoon strip from way back when has Charlie Brown and his baseball team losing yet again. And, of course, there have been innumerable line drives of the kind that caused pitcher Charlie Brown to go flying off the mound, his hat and glove and even his clothes sailing in all directions. You remember those, I'm sure. And on the way home, he complains to one of the other characters, why is the team lost again? $5 million to nothing. And this is the 80th loss in a row. Nobody can hit. He's got a beagle for a shortstop. Lucy certainly doesn't try very hard out there in center field, etc., etc. And Charlie Brown, whose secret unfulfilled ambition has always been to be called Flash, is one dejected athlete. Finally, the teammate speaks up with a casual shrug. Look at it this way, Charlie Brown. You learn more from losing than you do from winning. Well, that's exactly what Charlie Brown doesn't want to hear. Turning on them in sorrow and rage, he knocks them right over with a shriek. That makes me the smartest person in the world. You know, I can sympathize with my friend Charlie Brown, but we have to admit that cartoonist Charles Schulz must have been reading his Bible faithfully, especially in the book of Romans, where the Apostle Paul writes this. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. That's chapter 5, verse 4. And then as I glance down at the text notes provided in at least one version of the Bible, it says this, notice, a Christian can rejoice in suffering because he knows that it is not meaningless. Part of God's purpose is to produce character in his children. You know, friend, many of us have pleaded with God, Lord, let me learn some other way. I don't need suffering in order to follow your will. Please let me attend some easier university where I can soak up your lessons on a laptop computer or by taking a painless pill. But friend, the history of the human race is that we generally learn, in fact, maybe we only learn through pain and suffering. That's right. Still, the son or daughter of God has an advantage in being able to trust that God does have an ultimate purpose in their life. You know, I realize how glib it must sound for me to say on the radio, trust in God, even when it hurts, trust in God, because I don't know how bad you are hurting right now. Radio preachers never do. Oh, I get a glimpse of it from some of your letters. But it's truly one of the great tests in the Christian walk to keep trusting in God when the pain just goes on and on and on, and there's no apparent light at the end of the tunnel. I've always liked how Hank Hanegraaff describes faith. Faith is trusting God even when you do not understand. We've been gratefully borrowing from several wonderful books all this week, and I'm growing to appreciate more and more author Tim Stafford, who brought us the book Knowing the Face of God. Now, here's what he has to say about the inner effect of suffering. Suffering is lonely, and its most obvious effect is to bring the sufferer into a new relationship with himself. Suffering does not teach from a textbook. It works with the material already in a woman or man. It purifies this human material, cutting away layer after soft layer until only firmer stuff remains. All the dross goes. The ambitions, love of money, vanity about appearance, everything that sets us above others in our own mind. Suffering purges everything that is not central to life. That last line gives us food for thought, doesn't it? Suffering purges everything that is not central to life. I know that from my own experience. But consider Hollywood actor Christopher Reeve, who enjoyed the good life and gladly accepted paychecks for playing fairly frivolous roles like Superman. And then he was thrown from a horse and paralyzed for life. Don't you imagine his priorities are different now, his values? And of course, if he could spin the world backward and reverse time, as Superman did in the first installment of that series, and go back to the time of his abundant health, if he could live it over, would he spend his moments of vitality with greater wisdom? I imagine we all would. Maybe remember the old line that goes, "I complained about having no shoes until I met a man who had no feet." And suffering can help us hold on to an eternal perspective, can't it? If you're able to read the wonderful book Pain, The Gift Nobody Wants by Dr. Paul Brand and Philip Yancey, it's going to stir your heart to read so many stories of people who've lived long lives where pain was a daily and hourly companion. Some of the people in India that Dr. Brand worked with suffered for decades from the ravaging effects of leprosy or other grave illnesses. But this missionary doctor was often amazed at how many people learned to endure suffering with grace and good cheer and actually live Christian lives that he could only describe as abundant. In fact, toward the end of his book, he has this to say in reminiscing, and I'm quoting, "I have never made much money in my lifetime of surgery. But I feel very rich because of patients like these. They bring me more joy than wealth ever could." And then he continues, "And they bring me hope for other suffering people. In Namo, Sadan, and Palani, three of his patients, I have indisputable proof that pain, even the cruelly stigmatizing pain of a disease like leprosy, need not destroy. What does not destroy me makes me stronger," Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. used to say. And I have seen that proverb come alive in many of my former patients. Friend, listen. Are you suffering today? Is pain a part of your daily life? I know that for many of you listening right now, that's exactly what you face. Pain is firmly in your path. It's part and parcel of your future, and frankly, you can't see if there's anything else in your future. How can I possibly go on, is what many of the letters say that come here to Box 55. We mentioned the other day that sometimes pain is a signal to us of something we need to change. TV commercials joke about heartburn, but there's a body signal protesting our foolish choices. Life is good. Still, it'd be a lot better if we selected a more sensible diet. But friend, often pain is simply there. It's undeserved. It's a random attacker. There's no reason it's part of your life except for the fact that we live in a cruel, sin-soaked world. You don't have a lesson to learn. You're simply on the enemy's hit list. What perspective can you possibly adopt that will see you through this endless valley of shadows? Listen, friend. All we can say is that we suffer for the sake of Christ. Maybe there's nothing else, no other reason. But you see, the Bible tells us that there's nobleness and reward in being a fellow sufferer with Jesus Christ. He suffered too. And you and I, as parts of his family, may well have a heavy cross to bear. Philippians chapter 1 makes that very statement. "It has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him." Earlier in the book of Acts, we read that the first Christian apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name. And you know, friend, that willingness, that spirit of rejoicing in the midst of suffering is largely why the infant Christian church survived. Did you know that? There was incredible pain and persecution for those first followers of Christ, beatings and crucifixions and lions and the agony of families torn apart either by the wild beasts of Rome or by the spiritual splits this new faith caused. And what impact did all the flowing blood have? Lewis Boyer writes, "The importance of martyrdom in the spirituality of the early church would be difficult to exaggerate. After the elements of the New Testament, certainly no other factor has had more influence in constituting Christian spirituality." As we close our Thursday time together, I guess it might be well to be reminded of two things. Yes, friend, suffering and pain can and do bring us to a new level of character. As sons and daughters of God, we accept the blows of the chisel, as we read Monday, because we want someday to be made whole again. But even more than character development is the simple truth that through all that comes our way, friend, Jesus is there. I can't say it more plainly than that. In your darkest hour, the Son of God stands there by your side. And these aren't just radio words. He really and truly is there with you. Emmanuel, which means God with us. The fellowship of Jesus with us in our pain is really tomorrow's topic. But let me share in closing a line that Christian writer C.S. Lewis wrote to an American friend just a few months before his own death. More on that tomorrow as well. But out of his own incredible grief after losing his wife, Jack, as his friends knew him, put this in one of his final letters. Remember, though we struggle against things because we're afraid of them, it is often the other way around. We get afraid because we struggle. Are you struggling, resisting? Don't you think our Lord says to you, peace, child, peace, relax, let go. Underneath you are the everlasting arms. Let go, I will catch you. Do you trust me so little? Ah, friend, right now in the stillness of your own heartaches, can you feel those everlasting arms? They're there, friend, right now.
Thank you, Lottie, and we rejoice in that wonderful gospel news. Friend, remember that we want to mail to each listener a copy of this wonderful Christian bestseller, Pain, the Gift Nobody Wants, by Paul Brand and Philip Yancey. We do have to ask that you help cover at least the necessary expense for this hardbound, full-length book with a gift to the Voice of Prophecy of $25 or more. Here's our mailing address, Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Again, that's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Just ask for Pain, the Gift Nobody Wants. Our Canadian address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055 and give the operator a credit card number for your donation of $25 or more. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. Lonnie?
Our Friday title, Hope from the Land of Narnia. Please do join us. Voice of Prophecy teams at camp meetings again today and tonight, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Wisconsin, and on the weekend, New York. Until tomorrow, this is Lonnie Melashenko, together with Kenneth Richards, reminding you, friend, that it's always true. Yes, God loves you.
What factors will be decisive in the presidential election in November? How will Dole's war record play with the public? And what about Mr. Clinton's avoidance of the draft? Will Hillary Clinton hurt her husband? Will Elizabeth Dole help her husband? And then there's the economy. How will the economy help or hurt either candidate? And what about the budget battles? I wonder how often Christians think about the biblical perspective on world rulers. The prophet Daniel wrote, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them." Daniel was writing at a time when it seemed that evil had triumphed. God's people were in captivity. Jerusalem was in ruins. Still, the prophet insists, God was in control. God is able to accomplish His purposes. Above all the human forces, above the backroom dealing and the conspiracies and the scheming of men, God rules. And come November 6, whoever has won, and however he has won, let's remember that God stands in the shadows, working His will, keeping watch over His own. For the Voice of Prophecy and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is John McLarty.